Oh my God, it's the E Square Podcast. I'm Easy Mo, and we are back with my boy Pat here live. We're hot.
We're hot. We're rolling.
How you feeling, bro?
Good. Feel good.
Thank you very much for pulling up. This is a privilege and an honor because you are very highly regarded out here, not just in the city, but you know, in the entire industry. So to sit down and have you here, man, it's awesome. It's great.
Thanks. I appreciate it. You know, like I said, we were talking earlier about when I was in Nashville and everything was much more like closed circle.
Yeah.
And even though I felt like I was doing some cool work and everything, it was like, you know, they just weren't interested in letting new people in. So
why do you think that was out there? Is it just
that's like, just it seemed like from what people have told me, that's just kind of how it is there. Mm-hmm. Like maybe it's a older music city, so there's a lot more reverence around music there and everything. Mm-hmm. But ever since I came out here, it didn't take very long for me to get introduced to new people, and people seem to, you know, this, I guess I'm a more West Coast person, just like my overall values and everything match up with people out here a little bit more, but yeah, since I came out here, it's been a lot better than Nashville.
Where are you from originally?
Well, my whole family is from the South.
Describe the attire, the drip?
Oh,
Southern, looking very dapper, Southern gentleman-esque.
I really, you know, I wear the tie a lot. It's kind of an homage to old engineers like Al Schmidt and everything. Right. And just kind of like, you know, the seriousness I take with it and everything. And
that's beautiful. That's dope. It's fun.
The old Universal engineers and everything, Bill Putnam and those guys, created a lot of the gear we use today. So.
Right.
So a little bit of an homage to those guys.
So you've been doing music for how long now?
I've been doing music since, I guess I was about a sophomore or junior in high school.
Oh, really?
So I didn't grow up as a music kid. I was a sports kid. My sister was a concert violinist, so she was kind of like the music kid. I was kind of the sports kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, I enjoyed music, and there were some records that caught me, but I didn't pick up an instrument or do anything until I started a band when I was in high school.
Right? Oh, shit.
And so I did all that and played in bands, and I was in college and played a lot of music and stuff. And then eventually, I went to school in Minnesota, so I eventually kind of started a little studio there.
Okay.
Started recording artists.
Minneapolis?
Yeah. And then I moved to Nashville from there keep recording artists.
So why Nashville? Was there something about like country music?
I have a lot of family in Tennessee, I kind of had that like support there. But a lot of people move there, and I kind of feel like I have part of that. It's not moving to New York or LA.
Right.
It's a little bit easier financially and with jobs and everything. And I was engaged at the time, so I had other things I was thinking about too. So Nashville seemed like the good move, even though it kind of like wasn't.
Yeah. So they weren't very accepting.
No, I mean I fell into rap music there.
What's the scene like out there? Well, actually,
it's cool.
Yeah, is it
awesome out there? Like, honestly, I like so many artists from all kinds of genres of music. There's a lot of country, but not like a crazy amount. Not like it's pictured.
Really?
It's just like here, you know, Vegas is the Strip. It's like there's obviously a lot more going on. Same thing as like they kind of build this country, and you might have country singer songwriters and that sort of thing. In the airport or whatnot, but they have an awesome like alternative scene, rap scene.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really great producers. That's why I got into recording rappers and everything out there, and then we got into beat battles and everything out there. That's why I met all kinds of great producers, and those guys have gone on to do incredible things.
Mm.
A bunch of those guys, Chino Dollars, he's in Nashville still. Ducko McFly, he's in ATL, there's a bunch of those guys, Bandplay.
Yeah.
He was a young Dolphs engineer and a Key Glocks guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like all those guys, I've known my good friends since Nashville.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And so those guys will all just keep making awesome music. And
yeah. What drew you to rap music? Why do you want to get so involved in rap?
Rap music, just like, I'm really fond of like, punk music and music that's real rebellious and that sort of thing. And rap is kind of like the new punk in some ways.
A lot of ways.
you know, the rebellion factor, you know, I always have been saying this lately, is like the most punk artist lately is Lil Nas X.
Oh, like
he
sure.
just absolutely does everything that that pisses everybody off. And he knows it, and he trolls. And he keeps, like, he knows just how to turn the knife all the time.
Yeah, for sure. Cool with me. Why do you think people get so pissed off at shit like this? Like, I don't understand, because it doesn't make me mad. Like, Boosie with Lil Nas X.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, it's different things, and... You know, guys have explained to me, or some of my rappers have explained to me different things, like, in their community that I've never understood. Or, like, a dude to me the other day was like, oh, yeah, he called me a bitch, and, like, that just, it was on then. And I was like, what? I'm like, wait, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, me and my buddies, like, whatever, bitch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hey, bitch, whatever. Yeah. There's nothing, you know. But, you know, to him, that's really serious, and that's just something that's different with him and his guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's all kinds of different cliques got different things going on, and there's, you know, everything like that. So I'm not... You know, sometimes you just don't know that kind of stuff, and you know, you got to adjust or whatever, but
that Lil Nas X shit really pisses people off.
Well, you know, he just knows what, like, you know, people don't like. It's like if you go through anything, it's kind of like what, you know, a number of the trolls do.
Right.
You kind of just pick out. That's what they do in election cycles. You pick out what's angering everybody, and okay, let's like, you know, pick at it and dissect it.
We were talking a little bit earlier about, like, the music that we kind of grew up on, you know, like the Rage Against the Machines, the Smashing Pumpkins. Yep. Was there a band that really made you fall in love with music as far as wanting to be involved in?
Okay, so, like, I always tell people love this. The first song that ever just, like, rocked my world was This Is How We Do It by Montel Jordan. Like, when I heard that song, when it came out,
you were just dancing in the mirror.
You know, so I don't know what year that song came out, somewhere in the 90s, but I was like, whatever, 9,
yeah.
8, 9 or 10 or something, and when I first heard that song, it was just shocking to me how good it was. I just didn't even understand.
It is.
And then
it
there
is.
Was a number of songs around that era, Busta Rhymes' Woo-Ha, that you all in check. There's a bunch of those songs when I listen to them. There's something, like, really weirdly unique about...
it just captures,
you know, it's just very, very, the way they make music then, the process was really different, so it wasn't like, you know, you were inherently going to come up with incredibly unique stuff.
Yeah.
And that's why, like we, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, the way in which rap music is made today, and there's producers that are making stuff, there's a lot of guys getting stuff off the internet, a lot of guys beats passing around with multiple producers and everything, and multiple, artists as well, but that's why a lot of the music ends up sounding the same, is that you're not starting from different places, you're not changing the process up. People give less credit to the process than they should, you know.
Yeah.
You can record a song a number of different ways, and each way you do it, it's going to give you a different result, and sometimes that might be more original or less original, and, you know, not
it's
saying
hard,
it'll be better or worse, but sometimes, like, it's the tougher route to just be more original and keep mining for the great stuff.
Yeah, it's that, like we were talking about before, I feel like people are too worried about, like, what's hot. I feel like now it's like so much of it sounds the same. Does that frustrate you working with all these artists?
Well, you know, when I was young, I liked other artists. And I was trying to copy them in some ways. But, like, that's how you kind of, like, learn how to make what you like when you don't know music theory or whatever, when you're a young guy or whatever. But yeah, it's like when you have all of it done for you, when you don't have a hand in any of it, you know, even if it sounds worse, a lot of times that's going to sound more original.
Right.
If you have the rapper pick out the snare, he's not going to pick out the same snare probably. Right. He's just not even going to know how, with all those options, you give him 12 options. And you put the one that you always put in there.
Right.
He's probably not going to pick that one.
Yeah.
He'll probably pick another one. Let him.
Right.
You know, that's what I've always thought was cool about, you know, when producers come with the artist and they'll cook up. Like, a lot of times, I'll be cool about that with studio time. I'll give it to, oh, you showed up with the producer? Cool. I'll give you a half hour to just cook up.
Yeah.
You know, in front of each other and, like, just create something brand new here.
Yeah, that's important. It's like from scratch.
Yeah, that's not going anywhere else. That's not, you know, going to get uploaded on the internet. Yeah. It's just for right here, right now. That's how we always did it. Yeah. Just got together with my friends. We all played different instruments, and we got in the room and made music until it was cool.
That's where the magic, comes to fruition.
And yeah, and it does, like, you know, it gives you the opportunity to be a part of something.
Yeah.
And be a part of the group. And, you know, I can't imagine being a producer these days and not being a part of the group. They don't treat you like you or anything when you're running around chasing dudes around for $100.
Right. Bro, being around so many artists, and it's crazy the lack of importance that they put on the producers and their videographers. Artists cut the videographers and the producers so short and treat them like such shit. And it's amazing to me, because these are the people that, like, are your fucking backbone of your career. You know what I mean? Do you see the same thing with these artists?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of them, it takes time to get over some of that, you know.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, in this kind of digital age, and guys are doing that, guys are like, see, watch this. Let's just, here, look up the speed online, and cool, just rip it off there, and then, cool, we'll record on it, and boom, see, that was easy, and you might even like the song, and that's cool, but that's not really, you know, going to work if any of this does anything.
Right.
You know, the producer's going to be unhappy. Is he going to want to give you more beats to sound like that? No.
Right.
You already told it, we're trying to steal from him.
What's the biggest issue that you come? Because, I mean, making a song is collaborative. So you have the artist, the producer, and the engineer. Sometimes people do wear multiple hats. Is this like an issue? That's like the teamwork aspect of making music? Has this become like some stressful, or has it always been stressful to make a good song? People to come together.
I think it's always been a little bit tough for, you know, and that's one of the things I'm always working on, is just making that better and making the whole thing easier for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And when an idea comes around, how to bring that to light without seeming like, oh, I got a better idea than you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of egos and emotions and stuff flying around, and but, you know, I try and teach, and with my guys, we try and work on, hey, we're just trying to make the best song.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes guys bring other people, and those people got opinions, and...
Oh, my God, that's got to be annoying as fuck.
Yeah, you know? Sometimes it really is, and I have no problem telling anyone, like, hey, like, you know, keep quiet, leave,
yeah.
Or, like, you know, your opinion isn't valued here.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, sometimes those people are valuable. Sometimes we are bring his best friend or something, and that guy will have really valuable feedback.
Yeah.
Because I'm deep in it, and I can't always, you know, have the best, you know, when I'm trying to do six other things, I can't always think of that's the best lyric to put there.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And, you know, for the most part, I let guys really get their thing out. People sometimes will ask for lyrics or whatever, or people... you know, that's one thing, you know, friends will show up and they'll start volunteering lyrics, and it's like, sometimes people don't want that. Some artists don't ever want that, ever.
Right.
They want to write every single word themselves.
Right, right.
And they don't want ever to be a song that they didn't personally write at all.
Does that happen a lot on the, does that happen more or less, like, because you've worked with local artists, you work with, I would say, what, mid-tier artists, maybe? I don't know if that's the right term. And then you've worked with A-list artists. So who writes more of their music? Like, coming up, I'm assuming.
Well, I would say, like, you know, it's just different everywhere.
Right. Okay.
I would say a lot of the young guys, they will help each other. They'll go in. You know, like I said, my youngest group of guys, I'll shout them out, Javon Macklin, Hefe Benzo, Flacco, and all those guys around them, too, who aren't, like, 19,
yeah.
I'm Not July is one of those younger guys as well, but, like, Leaning Low, Grease Blanco, B.B. Margarotti, all those guys included, they'll all just go sit in the booth, like, together.
Oh, right.
And then, like, oh, if there's one that's just right there, oh, boom, mm-hmm. cool, take it, cool, take it. And then we're all just bouncing ideas, and mm-hmm. I might even say something stupid.
Yeah.
And it'll spit them off on a direction. But,
right.
you know, for the most part, I feel like I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear what I think
right.
you should say.
Yeah. How is it working with these artists, these up-and-coming artists here in the city? Because you've been down, you, how long have you been in Vegas awesome. Now? 9 years?
I've been in here, I think, 11.
Yeah.
I think 11.
Yeah.
So,
right, what's your diagnosis?
I love the Vegas artists. It's like we don't have a lot of good promo help here. It's not like a big Vegas area, and there's not like hella financiers
right.
here and that.
The business
and it takes
side
a lot
of
money to break an artist.
Yeah. A lot.
And... You know, even just to spend your money smartly and to even be able to put your money back into promo and not be getting something tangible with it,
mm-hmm.
I know it's hard for a young person. If I was young and popping, good looking, could sing good.
You are young and popping and good looking.
Not like these kids. And I tell you, like, I can't imagine what it would be like. You know, out here in Vegas and all this is going on. So
we got to hit the road, man.
Those guys, all those guys are terrific. We're figuring out different ways of promo. I'm trying to help guys out.
So you're more hands-on than just the music side of things.
Yeah, I'll help any of my guys try and, you know, get the project put out.
Mm.
And I will, you know, I would rather sit there and, with whatever distribution, DistroKid or whatever, and upload that with you so that it's done correctly.
Right.
There's all kinds of little boxes that you can check and it's going to get screwed up.
Yeah.
Or not check and now your YouTube videos aren't being monetized or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of guys that have been doing that. You know, they got pop videos. They got thousands of views and they're not being monetized.
Right.
And so it's like when I see that, I just, you know, I'm going to let them know and, trying to help them out with that sort of stuff. I want my guys to succeed. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
With the local talent, too, it's like you build the local talent, and, like, that shit could be going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look on a label, it's like a lot of people don't know as many artists that are on a label. There's a lot of artists that are signed to a label,
mm-hmm.
and then a number of artists at the top that are making a lot of money and, like, kind of floating all of the chance artists.
Right.
Or whatever, you know.
There's a lot of artists that are signed to a label, and then they don't even... They're not even allowed to say they're signed to a label.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. That's what they're like, because they're trying to paint the independent.
Oh, sure.
Picture.
Yeah, they have like a big distribution deal or whatever.
Yeah.
That's got to be the case with some of these guys.
Yeah.
But certainly, everybody wants to be an artist these days. Everybody has the quick availability of the web to be able to get something popping. So
mm-hmm.
there's certainly, in 20 years now, just an ocean of music where there used to be just a pond.
Yeah.
And
it's frustrating for me as a listener. Do you feel the same way?
I feel like some stuff passes me by, but feel like the... sources I go to check that stuff, and my friends keep me pretty well informed.
How do you find new music?
My artists tell me about new music all the time.
Same, by word of mouth. 100%.
And then, there may be a couple of online sources.
Yeah.
For some of the stuff that's, there's not a big scene here in the city.
Yeah.
Maybe like the techno music that I like, mm-hmm. or like, the kind of alternative music I like, mm-hmm. a lot of that, like more on the East Coast,
yeah.
that I'm into. So,
so talking about here in the city, that you're like very synonymous with Yada. How did that relationship come about?
When I came out here, I was working at a studio, and I got a job working on a solo project for DJ Paul from 36 Mafia.
Oh, dope.
And so I was working with him a lot, and then Yada was coming in. He was early on. He was coming in and getting in sessions, like not every day, but as much as he could.
Mm.
And he had either just gotten out of jail a few years before that, or he had gotten his movement popping a little bit and gotten a couple of features and stuff like that. But, we got working on it. It's been great. When I left that studio, I thought he was going to stay with the studio. And I thought, my artists were. And when I left, he was like, oh, cool. Like, I'll just come over to the house or what studio are we going to?
Oh, yeah. It's been locked in ever since, huh?
So it was really cool.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, he's accomplished a lot in the city.
Yelda's incredible. Yelda's one of those. He's always wanted to keep a huge piece of his pie. Mm-hmm. So it's like he's never wanted to sign a deal because he doesn't need the rapper starter kit.
Yeah.
You know, he already has everything rappers want.
Yeah.
And so he's not, he wants to keep all of his masters and, you know, everything like that. So he's passed up some bigger promo, you know, things where you'd have to really give up some points. And and I've really, you know, got a lot of integrity because there's a, you know, almost everyone I know wouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Do you think that's the right move, though? Because
I don't know. When it comes down to it, I know a whole bunch. Now, I know a whole bunch of artists that have been on a label, and I know how good and bad that can be just depending on a million different things.
Exactly.
And it typically, if you can find a label where someone works there and they just love you, they love all your music, and they're really about your movement, and they're going to push for you, that's what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's got to be like one in a million, though.
And I just know a number of those people, but a lot of times those people then will, boom, be moving labels.
Yeah.
The way the record labels have been in the last 20 years. And
we're jumping on their side.
Me Too stuff happened, and there was people moving around everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, that's happened since the 80s, really, where, you know, you get signed, that person leaves, and then you're fucked. Really fucked.
Yeah, it's like a football player, starting quarterback, 3 years, senior year, new coach, benches him.
Yeah, and so, like, and so you can say, like, okay, well, yeah, I didn't sign a big deal. But instead he's made, like I said, over 1,000 songs with me and all kinds of unreleased material and that he's just sitting on.
Yeah.
And he's just doing everything he can as correctly as he can.
Yeah, how has it been for you, you know, we're talking about, like, people moving around labels and shit and doing all that, so it's really politics. It's a lot of politics.
Yeah.
How has it been for you? Because you've reached top of the food chain in hip-hop. How have the politics, like...
It's weird, because you have just people coming in that are financiers or whatever, and they might have things to say. And you're kind of like, okay, well, where have you been? Or, you know, where do you have good ideas? What have you done that's of real value that I can say that, you know, that I valued that opinion?
Mm-hmm.
But I try and just think that, like, everybody has a cool opinion. Like, anywhere, you know, the camera guys might see something that we don't see.
Right.
And so I'm really open to all those sort of things, and I'm that kind of person. Some people just wonder exactly what they want. You know,
exactly how they want it. Usually the guys with all the money. Under control, right?
Yeah, a lot of guys I've met, you know, with some money, they're trying to make the world bend to their will with the money.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of can't make the world do what you want, no matter how much money you got.
Right, right.
You can kind of control those things, but you still got to kind of just...
Can't really buy into things like that.
Move through life like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so talking about, like, the top of the food chain in hip-hop, the Kanye experience. So you got the call to work on Donda, the first one.
Yeah.
Did you have a prior relationship with Kanye?
Or no, not at all.
Mm.
Big Kanye fan forever. You know, I really just, I think that I've always just really liked the records, and I'm at an age where, like, I've really been around for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I never ever thought I'd have the opportunity to work on one or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's always these monster engineers working on that stuff, Manny Marroquin and Mike Dean and all these guys, and so I never thought I'd have the opportunity to. This time around, you know, it just so happened, and Dawson was in there working in Atlanta and everything, and at some point, I got a call. Dawson had been texting me a little bit and everything, but I got a call from my friend Big Lou, and he was like, hey, you know, you got to go over there.
Yeah.
It's not. And I went over there.
Go over there.
Went over there and
went
over there and worked the project or whatever, and we got that one knocked out. I was there just for, like, the last probably 3 weeks. It was an amazing experience. You know, Kanye, the one thing I can really say, you know, people – talk about how amazing of a producer and, you know, musician and everything he is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Where's the remote? Yeah, the remote.
Is he's an incredible musician and incredible producer and everything. The fashion aspect, he's out of control. You know, he might be even better at fashion than he is music.
Wow.
You know, he's really,
and
really
you got to see that first
all of that. So, yeah, it was cool to just be around all that. And, I can't talk much about, like, his process, or I don't really talk about the process of my artists and how they work in case they don't, you know, in case they aren't cool with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, incredible experience, and you shout out Mike Dean and all those guys. Around and got to hang out and text him a little bit and be talking to him. Got to talk to him on his birthday and everything too.
You seem like a pretty level guy. If you ever get, like, if you're in the studio with Kanye, you're recording Kanye, whatever the case is, are you ever like OD excited? Or are you ever like, oh, do you like let down? Like, get me the fuck out of here?
I try to match like more of what's happening.
Mm.
Certainly, when people come in, that's one of the quick things that me and my guys are on, or like, is what's going on with this person right now?
Right.
I have a lot of guys, I've, for one reason or another, I have a lot of guys that work on, or they bring me sad songs that are sad and angry.
Mm.
I just typically work on a lot of songs that are sad and angry. So, you know, I have guys come in a lot of times and they are sad, they're feeling down, they lost somebody, broke up with somebody, whatever. And you know, we're dealing with that sort of stuff. So, I'm not going to be not matching the mood. I'm going to try and match the mood. So if it's up, I'll be up and we're having fun. And I want it to be a positive experience. Everybody wants to have fun.
Yeah.
And that's a big reason, like, a lot of guys can engineer great.
Yeah.
But are you fun to hang out with for 7 to 12 hours or whatever at a time?
Yeah.
So that's a huge thing.
Mm.
It's like, if you're not fun to hang out with, you're just not going to get booked very much.
Right. You're like a therapist.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah. Bartenders. Talk with me about that a lot, about how, you know, sometimes with artists, like, you're really just catering to, like, helping them through the woods a little bit, you know.
Do we find the remote? You don't know where it is?
It's just true.
Dude,
it's some cool, like, fireworks, like, on there. So yeah, it's a cool fireworks.
I feel like sparks are flying. Huh? Okay. All I see is fireworks.
Come on, Pat.
All I see is fireworks. Hold on, we gotta get this. Can you get this on the camera?
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're now tuning into the E Squared podcast. Toxic's in the building. What up, Tox? How you know Tox?
Yeah, I'm at Toxic.
Where at?
How was that
show?
It was great.
Yeah.
It was cool. You know, it's like first Friday, it was lit. Like, you know, everybody was in a good mood. It was cool. Everybody performed really good.
Who is your favorite, unbiased opinion, who is your favorite artist that you know, out of the city that you think? No, that's a dangerous question. That's a dangerous question.
No, I don't like Yada.
Yeah.
You know,
unbiased, though. That's why I said unbiased.
All my guys, really, are like, I don't work with people that I don't love. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
You're picking children.
A cheat code to engineering, too. It's like, if you work on stuff you love, right, you know, you're going to work harder on it, it's going to be better, you're going to be happier, all that stuff.
Mm.
So, I try, these days, especially to... You know, I might get booked with something that's whatever, not my cup of tea or something for a little bit. But my long-term guys are all my guys that have done, whatever, 50, 75 songs with me. Those guys are all awesome to me.
Yeah.
I'm super into that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, it's not just there's a whole lot of engineers that are just, you know, press 3, pull it down, and like, cool, it's $40 an hour.
Right.
Cool, like, are we done with it?
Yeah, you've had to be in those sessions, though.
And, I want sessions to be over sometime, sure. Like that, everyone does. Right. I mean, the artists do sometimes. Yeah, when we can't get something done,
right.
And it's just like, oh, like we've done this a million times or whatever. Like we just can't. It's not working today. Sometimes, you know, they'll close it up early.
Yeah.
But, yeah, more or less it's like, okay, we've got 4 hours. Like, we got to make the coolest shit we can in 4 hours.
Isn't that the worst?
That's a race.
Isn't that the worst part of recording is the structure of, like, hourly, where there's no, where there, you are on a timeline? Do you think that's better or...
I only do that with my with my artists that just come in and record vocals like that, and the reason I do that, I'm totally upfront and frank, is because a lot of those artists just take those records and release them.
Mm.
They're not going to come back and okay it with me, pay me to mix it, come back and even do more takes of something.
Mm.
They're just like going to be okay with like the C-level product of it and want to release it.
Right.
And you know, I know what it takes, and I've seen what it takes to get a record all the way pushed to the top of, like, whatever shit you love, all kinds of shit you love I've seen sessions of. And so it takes a little bit to push that rock up the hill.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and a lot of times, I would say more times than not, that's a lot more than one session.
Yeah. You got to revisit it. You got to listen to it again.
Yeah. And so, like, I'm working with a rock band in town right now. I'm working with a mariachi punk band. Los Carajos. Shout out to them. If you look that up on Google, that's called The Fucks. And they're a hardcore.
Arriba.
They play traditional mariachi songs and shit, like punked out. It's awesome as fuck. But, like, I'm writing them by song.
Yeah.
Because they like whatever, they're gonna pay this, they're paying for this, they're paying for studio.
I gotta check them out. Did they have like the whole look going on and everything?
I haven't seen them in a look, but I haven't seen them play live.
Oh, okay.
I just seen them in rehearsal and stuff.
Okay. Are they good though?
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's awesome.
Mariachi and punk.
Yeah, it's really cool. There's 8 of them.
Weird.
So something like that, I'm gonna charge them by song because I know that it's not like a cut and run thing.
Yeah.
And it's gonna take some time, so I know that like it's gonna maybe X amount of hours, and they're probably not gonna be able to afford it if you really break it down to hours.
Right.
Whereas like my rap artists are coming in knocking out like 3 songs in 4 hours, and they sound great, and they're ready to release them, and they don't want to pay to get them to sound better.
Yeah.
And I guess I can kind of understand that.
People
just don't understand like. They might not care about elevating it to a higher level, but you know, or down the road, like you could, you know, you will when you hear a song in the club against a Drake record, you're gonna feel bad.
Yeah, it's definitely levels,
mix or whatever.
Yeah,
maybe when you hear an album that's rough mixes, like. I don't know. The Machiavelli album.
Yeah.
The Tupac Machiavelli album is just rough mixes, those aren't mixes.
Oh,
so it's like, okay, well, put your album up against the sonic quality of that then. If you want to win. But that better be your benchmark, not like, you know, a Yo Gotti album.
It's kind of frustrates you.
A little bit.
Do you communicate that with them?
We argue about all the time. In the, you know.
They just don't have the same level of interest, huh?
Yeah, and they think it sounds great.
It's like ignorance is bliss kind of thing, yeah?
Yeah, and whatever. Maybe rough mixes are awesome to them, or my rough mixes might be awesome to them, and maybe every now and then I do just, like, hit a hole in one, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to wake up in the morning and want to do some stuff to it for sure.
Yeah. It's a never-ending process, I feel like, though. You got to know when to cut it off, too.
Yeah, certainly. And, yeah, it is like, you know, Pixar, they have release dates, and they just work on that shit. Because you can keep working, you know, every day you can wake up, or every week, or every month, or whatever, new plugins come out, new software, new gear. You could just every month open a song, update it, and just do that, like, fucking forever.
Can you replace songs? Like, if you release a song on platforms, you can replace that? Isn't that a thing, then?
Yeah.
With a different mix?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It has to be the same length.
Mm.
Or at least on Apple Music, that's like one of the requirements. It has to be the same like length. It can't be like longer or whatever. But
right,
can replace those. We replaced one recently, a record recently with DistroKid. It was a nightmare though.
Mm.
Like shit got hung up the title, and so it was like offline for a long, long time. So it was not ideal.
How do you fix something like that?
Just wait.
Just wait.
Did you get people on email?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Send a million.
With who? With an artist or with a with like a.
To the distributors or whatever's going on.
Mm.
If something gets hung up with, you know, when you're releasing a record, it's something going on with the distributors or the companies like Tidal, whatever. Okay. If you're sending that shit out and it's going to masters and it's going to, you know, all these digital platforms, usually it gets hung up like on one of them.
Right.
Something stupid like that.
So you've accomplished a lot of music, bro. Do you have like goals that you haven't done or artists that you want to work with that you haven't?
There's all kinds of artists that I love. I'm not sure if I would like seek them out. I've been thinking recently that there's some artists that I would love to seek out, some like older guys maybe, like a Jackson Browne or something, like an old singer songwriter, someone like him would be really cool to go track down and just like hang out with and see if I could work with them a little bit. But, you know, I'm just kind of open to see what's happening. Like I said, I really like the artists I'm working with now, and you know, I'm going to keep pushing those guys and everything. But, yeah, new stuff keeps – I keep getting calls all the time for new stuff, big stuff, smaller stuff. And I'm not really – you know, I don't really put artists on different levels like that, you know what I mean? Of course, like, getting signed by a label is a big thing that, like, artists are always talking about. And certainly, you know, you're going to see it happen with Mozzie now, right? So Mozzie's been on really kind of an independent thing with Empire forever.
Yeah.
And even though, like, he's got a Timeless record that's on the Black Panther movie and everything like that, now that he's signed, like, a real major label deal, you're going to see him, like, everywhere. And you're going to see really his fan base go up like, you know, millions.
Yeah.
Promise you.
Really?
Promise you.
YG. Taking the next step like on the YG level almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, well, Mozzie's one of those artists that just has that it factor, that voice.
Right. His voice is totally incredible. And, yeah, when he was popping off, it was like everyone was coming into the studio like, oh, Mozzie. And so it was like, I didn't even need to.
Oh, you've heard of Mozzie before.
Everyone just told me about him. And then, and then he came in.
I think he lives out here. Does he live out here now?
I don't know.
He comes out here, though, a lot. You work with him, huh?
I've worked with him. I did the Yada project with him. I did a few other features and some other stuff with him, too. I've worked with him probably two or three times.
Yeah. How easy to work with?
He's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's terrific. He's really serious, and he really sits down and works on that shit.
Yeah.
Like, he is not half-assing or anything.
Yeah. If you're in the car right now, you're driving, you got about 30-minute drive, who are you putting on to listen to? It's a Sunday morning.
I don't know. Dylan? Bob Dylan?
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, I listen to a ton of Bob Dylan. I said Sunday morning might be a different sort of thing. It might be a slow sort of thing.
All right, Friday night, and you're headed to Spearman Rhino.
Friday night, I'm going to Spearman Rhino. I guess we're going to have like, some sort of, like, yeah, like the rap playlist, like the new rap playlist or something.
Yeah, well, I know you said you love gangster rap, because we're talking about Lil Nas X, we're talking about Travis Scott, but you said you're really into the gangster rap.
Yeah, I'm into gangster rap, but I am kind of, like, bourgeois about stuff, like, you know what I mean? I, like, I'm a huge Pusha T fan.
What do you think about Griselda right now?
Oh, that stuff's great.
Yeah.
Benny the Butcher, I didn't even know who he was. And then we saw him at Day in Vegas, and I was like, oh, this is who this is. I was confused. I had them all mixed up over there.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I think that whole movement's really cool. I like that stuff. Chief's really into that stuff, too, so he's been showing me that stuff.
Oh, Chief?
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out Chief. Hey, happy birthday, Wave, man.
Oh, yeah. The Olives had Wave. Vinny, Chief, all had, like, within week and a half there.
Yeah,
Tribe Chillin'. I've been trying. I'm just going to say it over the air, too. I've been trying to get those guys to put together a project with me.
Yeah, why would
so,
they?
So,
Is there, are they showing resistance or what?
Well, there's four of them, so it's difficult to get four rappers together at one time or whatever, but, I'm trying to get them together.
That'd be dope.
They make really cool music.
Mm-hmm. They're unique, and they have their own identity, and they take pride in it,
Yeah. And I feel like if I got them really rolling, too, like if I got that sword really sharp, they'd be on fire.
Yeah, they're fun to watch grow.
Yeah, but yeah, they're... Chief been turning me on to that sort of stuff. A lot of my young guys, they're showing me new music and stuff they're into.
Because my niece is 13, and I ask her what she's listening to. And she always says, I don't know. Yeah, so I wonder. But what do you think is, like, on the 18-year-olds?
Like all that hot shit, pop,
baby,
and
all
that.
Oh, yeah.
And all the, and then, NBA YoungBoy is probably like most hot artist on the internet right now.
Yeah.
Or like the unstreaming crowd. Mm-hmm. I call them the free streaming crowd and that sort of things, like kind of NBA YoungBoy fans.
Isn't it crazy what he's been able to accomplish? On YouTube.
Yeah. No, he's a tour de cars and they've been going crazy with him for a minute.
Yeah. Is he signed?
Yeah.
To who?
I'm not sure. He was just complaining about it though.
I didn't know you were signed.
Yeah, he was just complaining because they did something with his album that he was unhappy with it or something. But
he just dropped a project with Baby, right?
Yeah. And all those guys probably are putting out a ton of output.
Yeah.
Like if you could just get studio time and me all day every day, like you're probably pumping out just like crazy amounts of songs.
Yeah.
And so when you stash all these hundreds of songs, and labels still won't put you out because they don't have the particular eight that they like. It's a real difficult song.
Yeah. Isn't that the formula these days? Quantity over quality, more so, you say?
Yeah.
That's what I tell artists. I say, let that shit fly. I know so many talented artists that just keep music stashed away.
I think that you should work as hard as you can on the music and that it should be quality over quantity. But the way that we kind of rock, or the way that I rock with a lot of my guys, is that if, like, we're working on a song and it's not hot, I'm not going to sit here and beat my head into the ground for 3 hours trying to make it better. Like, so let's just move on until there's something that's, like, the demo's hot, or, like, your iPhone recording is hot.
Yeah.
Like, let's do that one.
Yeah.
And that's really, like, where where I was when I was young as a songwriter and where I see a lot of the guys... It's like, after we do 30 songs, your favorite five are going to be much different than the first five.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot of stuff that you just are going to think is hot that day, but it's just not going to stand up to the test of time. And that's how you can really, it's hard to make an album, it's a deep dive.
Yeah.
To do that correctly.
Steer artists and more so just start dropping singles?
I just want artists to drop.
It's really
a consistency thing. I wouldn't say it's albums or it's singles or whatever because, my artists, they'll get a thing going. They'll get an aesthetic or a concept or whatever going.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to put it together. I have two artists right now that we're, looking for one more song for each of their projects and then that shit's done.
Mm-hmm.
So, until that arrives, we're just rocking.
Right.
But in that meantime, they'll probably have a few singles that they need to drop that don't match up with the album that they'll just release. Or
the consistency.
Who did I just see the other day? Like Socks, with Socks.
Mm-hmm.
He's been one of my rappers for a long time. He just shot a video and he's got a new single. He just put out a project last year or whatever, but he needs to keep dropping because he didn't before.
Right.
And so it's like it's one of those.
He's one of those interesting guys.
He's so talented, and he works on his projects a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I would say there's a minimum of a session's going to be open a minimum of 20 different times before he gets a song done. But, it's great. Mm-hmm. When it comes out, it's exactly how he wants it.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have any regrets, probably, with just about any of his music because he's really, taking the time and to make it how he wants it.
Yeah. What kind of advice do you give someone like that? Because he has, like, a lot of, he's not really out there like that. You know, like, how would you tell him to?
But it's like, and so that's what it is. It's like the internet, consistency, keep rocking. Like, you don't have to go outside.
Right.
There's, like, you know, there's some of these guys, they're, you know, they're the only rappers that have problems with people out here are, like, guys that don't ever come outside. They're just on the internet. You know what I mean? And so they have, so no one ever sees them, and they don't ever get beat up because they're never outside.
Right.
You know, just what it is. So you can have a whole career just doing that.
Yeah.
But it's,
NBA Youngboy only shoots videos from his house.
Yeah, I mean,
he can't go.
And I was like, well, we can shoot in that room or that room.
Backyard today. That's got to be.
So,
the internet is a tool for sure.
Yeah, and it's free. You know, you can drop shit these days. So it's like, and, you know, if you're making good music or if you're making cool music, and it's coming out once every whatever, couple months, or, you know, watch how you do it with the seasons.
You know,
do it like the fashion companies do. Do seasons of stuff. Do the fall joint. Do the do a couple releases in a season or whatever. Do something like that so that we just have something to continue on. Because these days it's like, you know, even if you're not whatever, people are always telling me, like, oh, you're not posting enough. You got to get on there and post them, or else people are going to forget about you and all that. Whatever. And I don't really subscribe to any of that sort of shit. But,
you don't? I think there's.
But certainly, like, like every time I post, I get booked immediately.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, people, you know. And so if that is the case and that's how people are operating, then you might as well, you know, feed that if you're an artist, or at least, like, play the game.
Yeah, you gotta play the game. See, I made this distinction in my head a couple of years ago, because I really come from managing artists, and, you know, I'm booking them, doing all this extra stuff, and there's a difference. There's artists that are good at doing music, and then there's artists that are good at doing the music business and being involved in the music business.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you have to approach. A lot of artists think they're entitled to the business just because they do music. You know what I mean? They're entitled to those opportunities just because they make good music. Or, you know, it's like you have to take on, unfortunately, you have to take on the approach that your music is a product.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's something that's exploited.
Exactly.
That's how it's described.
Exactly.
By the labels and everything. Is we are going to exploit your product.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always had that as well. That's
a wrong word.
What is that? You know, but no, that's exactly what's happening. You're coming from this side of things where you want shit to be pure and real, and you're doing this for this sort of thing, but then they gotta, like, make some money off this.
Yeah.
So it's a very weird thing, and you know, and that's where, as engineers, a lot of times you get stuck in this real weird position where the labels will be privately talking to you, or the financier, whoever's paying for it, whatever, and they're like, yo, we gotta have this out of them.
Mm.
Like, that one thing, like, we're not gonna tell them, you gotta tell them, but, like, you know, we don't fucking like that, and so it has to go.
Yeah.
And then the artist, and then you talk to the artist, and you're like, what's up with that? Like, what if, like, you know what I mean? Like, what if we just, you know, did this or did this, and changed this? And they're like, nah, I'm never changing that ever.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, well, how are we gonna make those people happier?
Exactly. Yeah, there's a balance that is really, it's like the two opposite minded people, the creative people, and then the business sides of people, and it's tough to walk that line.
And the good people on both sides of those, they're right.
Yeah.
You know, like, sometimes we had a situation last year where I worked on an album, and the label was like, oh, this song, like, what? Like, no, go back to the New Year's Eve mix. Mm-hmm. That was the one.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, damn, that was like 6 months ago we got all this work through it.
Yeah.
We went back to the New Year's Eve mix. They're right. It was better.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled it up and played it, we're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
This is the one, yeah.
Yeah.
So sometimes, like, you know, you get too deep in
your own shit.
In the deep end or whatever, and so it's good to be able to zoom out.
Yeah. I feel like we can sit here and talk about music all day. What does Pat like to do outside of music?
Man, it's kind of all I've been doing for years now.
Yeah. Sorry, are you in the studio every day?
All my.
Yeah. And how many hours a day do you think?
Oh, 16.
Really?
Yeah.
That's all you do?
Yeah.
Do you have a girlfriend?
No.
No?
Not anymore.
I lost her.
Yeah, but like a lot of relationships I've lost because of how this is.
Yeah, it's full time job.
It's a real lifestyle sort of thing. Yeah. I didn't understand that when I was younger, and like engineers were telling me like, yo, this is like not what you might think it is. and so it's like it's a lot of, you know, but you know these days too, our job has become sort of this like really terrible thing.
Yeah.
For a lot of the young guys, they get treated horribly.
Mm.
And
why is that?
Because they can. You know, a lot of the artists, even if they're not that big, they kind of know that the engineers are really excited to work with them and really want to be a part of it, want to make some music with some really great people.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll use that to their advantage.
Yeah.
You know, they'll kind of treat people really bad or whatever, just, you know.
Yeah.
And I've seen that a whole lot, but I've always tried to just get guys away from that. If guys are, you know, if my guys are being treated like that somewhere else, I've always tried to step in and help out.
Yeah.
And everything like that. There's, you know.
Clout, you know, it's like.
It's tough. Or like, I've heard crazy stories about the 90s, though. You know, like R. Kelly would make you sign a contract and you kind of look him in the eyes. So like this.
Hey, is he out? I saw a clip today that he's out.
I don't know.
He's out? Yeah. Oh.
But like, he makes awesome music. Right? He always has to me. Yeah. But
he's like
when all this stuff came out, I was like, whoa.
He's like the one person that I learned how to separate the artist from the person.
Yeah, yeah. Like I can still listen to his records.
Yeah.
I always really loved his records though too.
Yeah.
But it's not like we'll probably ever see anymore.
No.
I mean, maybe if something weird's going on, but from what I saw, it was like, probably we shouldn't get anymore.
Yeah. Well, DJs don't even play it anymore.
It's still a weird vibe for sure. Like, you know, and that's that kind of weird Netflix vibe, like, right? It's whatever Netflix drops is hot. And there's like, there's a big controversial one coming out on HBO that's with the Evan Rachel Wood and talking about Marilyn Manson. And Marilyn Manson just dropped, like, he just sued her and says that and posted all this stuff that he's got proof that she did all this stuff. And sounds like a nasty situation over there. I don't even know, but everybody's been talking about this documentary. It's going to drop. It's real controversial and everything, so.
Did you watch Genius?
No.
Oh, you seen it?
The Kanye.
Yeah.
I haven't got a chance to yet.
Yeah.
I downloaded it, so I could, but I haven't watched it.
I cried.
Everyone said, or a lot of people told me that, like, you know, that that first one is, like, really cool because that's where, like, you can connect with them because that's where, like, a lot of artists are or, like, can see themselves. That's a little bit easier platform to get than getting to, like, the Balenciaga art installation inside a football stadium. Like, right, that's, like, so fucking cool.
Yeah.
Most people can't even see themselves doing that. But, so, like, and then a lot of people have told me then the second one's, like, really crazy, too, because it's starting to, like, see that transition from when he does get some.
The biggest thing that I learned from that is just how hard he really had to fight for what he wanted. You know, and the biggest contrast to what I see a lot today, especially with up and coming artists, is the entitlement that people have today, rather than like him scratching and clawing to be in the position he was trying to be in.
Yeah, he came in. There was no auto tune then. Yeah, or like it was just about happening, right? But he produced like super a lot of records before any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the old style of tape recording and everything. So he was around, he's like 10 years older than me. So I recorded shit on tape. So he was really recording shit to tape. And that was like a really tough process.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you just had to make music back then, making hip hop music and shit for real was tough back then. Like you had to go get those drum machines. Right? Those fuckers were not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And then those sounds, there was no internet. So those sounds were like on floppy disks, getting passed around hand to hand. Just how you found all those sounds and everything was like
way less accessible.
Yeah, people were trying to steal that shit from everybody. And,
yeah,
I think that was even when the Phil Collins drums came out, you know, the Journey, not the Journey, but the Phil Collins, like the classic drum fill, mm-hmm. you know, like Mike Tyson does in the fucking Hangover or whatever. Mm-hmm. Those drums are like, everyone was trying to steal them in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Like physically, like go to the studio and steal them off the...
Yeah, I feel like that's why there was a lot of that music made back then was just so like magical and timeless because it was so much less accessible, and all that those instruments, those environments were just held to a much higher respect than they are now because every you know
you had to be in a proper studio to make anything sound legitimate.
Right, right.
There was nobody that had all that gear in the house.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was certainly just like kind of a different thing, and but there was still, you know, there's still cool people making, you know, it's just the fidelity kind of changed. Now instead of like tape, four track tape decks, we've got the computers, yeah. got a million tracks, they sound a lot better,
yeah.
and so it's like the quality of everything has come up a lot. You could say like, you know, just about a lot of records you hear, you don't have a problem with mm-hmm. how they sound like that.
Yeah.
There's a lot less of that, I'd say.
Yeah.
You can get a record sound in whatever, C plus.
Pretty easy. You smoke weed, right? Well, yeah. Of course you smoke weed.
Yeah.
How much weed do you smoke?
I don't know.
Every day? All day?
Sure.
Yeah? Well, what's your, what, indica or what? Indica, or you just smoke whatever?
Yeah, I smoke what's good.
You said you smoke last though,
smoke
right?
I mostly right smoke now? Just rosin. I do dabs
so around. How do you do that in operate, bro?
It's really, like, smooth and...
I envy you because...
But I am rosin, it's more expensive, but it's organic. It's just nugs that are pressed.
Mm.
And so it's like, and... Yeah, I run a lot. I've always been a runner and stuff, so I get up and run a few miles every day, and there's a big difference when you smoke flower, and there's like an ashiness, like, in your lungs in the morning when I'm running, like, I can...
You feel that? You feel the difference?
Yeah, I'll be hacking up weird stuff, but especially if I had a backwood or something, I'd have weird stuff in the morning. But with the wax, it's like, it's, you know... It's not much at all.
Jesus.
And it's a huge difference. Like, if you just, you know, you could do an easy science experiment, just, like, smoke out of one, you know, a rig for a week, smoke out of a bong for a week.
Yeah.
It's like that combustion or whatever, that fire and all that. It's like, it's just, like, black and looks crazy. And, you know, the rig will just have, like,
it's pure.
A little bit
pure
of juice in it or something.
I felt like I was going to die when I smoked wax.
Yeah, you got to take it easy.
I felt like I was going to die, bro. Does that help you record? Do you lock in better when you're...
It helps out with creativity, so it's like a different side of things.
Mm.
So we'll, in the studio, we'll use it to switch things on and off.
Mm.
A lot of my guys will come in and work, you know, they'll work sober for a while and then smoke, or works. They'll come in just kind of light and, you know, work until...
Right.
You know, it wears off or whatever, so they can just have both sides of the coin.
Dope. Oh, the room's getting full. What's up, guys?
Okay.
Yeah, we got a whole
speaking of weed, we got some weed. Okay,
what up? I think we should wrap it up then, man.
Oh, yeah.
This was dope, bro. I really appreciate you pulling up, man, because you are highly respected and highly revered, and I've been watching you for a long time. Yeah, and you know what I mean? Like, you've helped. You're like... instrumental in the growth of not just these artists that you work with, but that like has like a ripple effect to the entire city. So we greatly appreciate you.
Yeah, man. Like, I appreciate you just like, you know, reaching across the fence and everything. There's, you know, even though it's not crazy clicky out here, but there is some kind of like, there's been some kind of circles, and I know with the quarantine stuff has been cool. I know like a lot of my bands, like kind of some stuff fizzled and stuff, but now like there's just been some cool new friendships and people popping up. So yeah, like I'd love to just like help out any way I can. And,
likewise, bro.
Shout out to like all those artists over there that don't even record, like you know, Jeremiah's artists and Dawson's artists. I don't even know all of them by name. I know what y'all look like mostly and sound like, but super awesome, and you guys are all cool.
For sure, yeah, man. However I can help on like the show side too. I know you're getting involved doing that.
Yeah. There's all kinds of dope artists, so it's like that's what I mean, like. dudes want to do shows, like, let's figure out how to get them in.
Well, we got the biggest show promoter right here. That's even if, and, yeah, he's throwing a little
bit. Yeah. No, even if, like, no, there's, like, this is how I feel. Like, if a local artist wants to be on a show, like, cool. Mm-hmm. Like, put your name down, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And show me some music. All right, if that's just okay, like, you should be given a shot.
Yeah,
if you suck and you don't bring anyone out, well, then, cool, I'm going to tell you, like, hey, bro, we gave you a shot, and you sucked and didn't bring anyone out. So now you go to the back of the line, all right?
Yeah.
All these other dudes are going to stay up here or whatever. You got to, we're going to take a break for you so you can figure out how to get some of your friends and family to show up, your little brothers and sisters to show up at least.
Yeah.
And you know, you can do that with everybody. You can just be honest with them. Like, it's really easy to just be like, hey, bro, you don't bring out enough people.
Yeah.
That's why we're not going to book with you.
Yeah, facts.
But, like, there's a lot of artists, and you should give people a chance.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we're figuring stuff out with all, you know, if there's probably, there's been problems with Metro. I know that, like, Tombstone got his birthday party shut down this weekend.
Which I thought was weird because I know a lot of other hookah lounges that were going on that didn't get shut down at all. I thought that was very strange.
Right. I mean.
Very strange.
I've never had a fucking birthday party shut down.
Very
strange.
Doesn't
make any fucking sense to me at all.
Metro. And no offense to Tone, but he's like 40. Right, so it's weird that they would shut down his party.
Yeah, but whatever we need to do, I know several cops, good dudes or whatever, and whatever we need to do, if we gotta get them to be in on security or whatever needs to happen, let's just get that to happen so we can keep having shows, keep doing awesome shit like you guys.
For sure. Thanks, Pat. I appreciate you, man. My door is always open.
Rock on.
Till next time. Peace.
Yeah. Thank you.